Up. I think we started a little early. Okay, I guess we'll get going. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a big book study, a vision for you big book study. My name is Laura W., and I am a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Today is Friday, October 6, 2023, and today we are reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 157, the sixth paragraph, starting with, "Yes, that's me," said the sick man, through that one paragraph ending, "Damn little to laugh about that I can see." And comments are going to be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, thank you for your service, for the 12 steps, Kim T., the 12 traditions, Rhonda R., reader of the text is Julie E. B., Betsy H. will be reading page 164, their newcomer greeter, Diane B., announcements are Shelley E., and Robin P. is on deck as our backup. Thank you all for your service. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, October 5th, the 10 a.m. meeting is 20,720. That's 20720. And for this morning, October 6th, the 7 a.m. Vision for You meeting, the share ID is 20,722. That's 20722. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kim T. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kim T., recovered compulsive overeater. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you, Kim T. Thank you for your service. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, please.
Thank you, Laura, for your service. This is Rhonda R., grateful in Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today.
Thanks, Rhonda. Thanks for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, we ask that everyone's phone except the speakers be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 157, the sixth paragraph, starting with, "Yes, that's me," said the sick man, through the one paragraph ending, "Damn little to laugh about that I can see." That one paragraph only. Comments to be placed on that one paragraph only, please. And I will now ask Julie E.B. to get us started, please. Julie, please press star 1.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. Hi, this is
Thanks, Julie
E.B. Gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. "Yes, that's me," said the sick man, "the very image. You fellows know your stuff all right, but I don't see what good it'll do. You fellows are somebody. I was once, but I'm a nobody now. From what you tell me, I know more than ever I can't stop." At this, both the fellows burst into a laugh, said the future fellow anonymous, "Damn little to laugh about that I can see." As I said, I'm Julie, gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Once I say, "Yes, that's me," it all starts. Every time I'm in the debate, every time I'm talking about every time I'm talking about how I'm different, you fellows are somebody, I'm nobody. Every time I'm focused on what I'm not and what you are, I'm missing the point. If that's me, that's called identifying in. If you can hear yourself, if you can hear the feelings you struggle with, if you remember what it's like to always be hungry or never be hungry, or if you can remember what it's like to live in the chaos of your own mind spinning over and over again, you are at the beginning. So these guys will burst into laughter. See, they had this perspective. I used to think when someone else was suffering, I had to suffer with them or pull them out of it. And by used to, I mean I did it once yesterday. But the laughter tells me there's a distance. I once told my son once told me, my young adult son once told me he didn't want to live anymore. And I kept a laughing tone. And he was offended. And I said, "Guess what? If I jump down in with you, into this pit you're in, I can't help you at all. I know you're going to be okay. I know you're going to be okay. There was a lot to laugh about for them. They felt joy because this one, a sick man, was saying, that's me. So all we have to say today is, that's me. All we have to listen for is, how is that like me? And I continue to change and grow. I focus some days on how other people are somebody and I'm nobody. But the truth is that the beginning all starts with, that's me. And I start listening to someone besides myself. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thanks, Julie E.B. Thank you so much for stepping in and getting us started today. So before I start taking names on people who want to share, just remember that although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others can share their experience too. So if you've shared on any Vision for You meeting on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, we just ask that you hold back and let others share. So who would like to share? I just need your first name and the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Margaret D.
Margaret D.
Roz G.
Ma'am.
Roz G.
Lorna L.
Lorna L. I got you. I got Stephanie also. Stephanie L.
Robin P.
Robin P. I got, so far I've got Margaret D., Roz G., Lorna L., Stephanie L., and Robin. All right, great. In the essence of time, let's get going. So Margaret D., please get us going.
Good morning. My name is Margaret D., and I'm from Georgia, and I'm so grateful for recovery, which comes to me only through God's grace and mercy. So this paragraph, I can identify with this paragraph actually from both sides, one of being the person in the bed and the other having experienced a psychic change, which is what happened to Bill and Dr. Bob, you know, from that aspect also. And I was thinking, for example, if I've gone through something, if you and I are, so to speak, going to the same dance, you know, and you're moaning and groaning because you don't know the dance steps and, you know, no girl or boy or whatever is ever going to ask you to dance it. And all you can see are the negative aspects. I can really laugh because I was in that place too. And I remember what it was like. And we're not laughing at the person. We're laughing at the self-pity, we're laughing at the disease itself that's telling us, I'll never recover, I'm not like you, I'm a nobody, you know, you guys are special. And as a person who has, again, experienced a psychic change, I can laugh because I felt that same way. I could see where you could recover because you might not think you were much, but I look at you and I see all these wonderful qualities that you can't see in yourself. So I'm not sure if that makes sense or not, but it seems like since our disease is one of selfishness and self-centeredness and, you know, chock full of being resentful and fear, that when we experience those in somebody else, we can laugh because we were that way. And through the grace of God, we're not that way anymore. And that's our, you know, we can share our experience, strength, and hope with other people to let them know that you can recover. You will recover if you will do what, you know, this, if you take the steps that we took to recover. And so welcome to all the newcomers. You just don't realize how wonderful you are. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Margaret from Georgia. Up next is Roz G., followed by Lorna L. Roz?
Hi, good morning. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. Thank you for your service. Boy, what I love about the rooms of OA is the laughter. I love to be able to laugh at myself and to laugh with others. As was said in the first share, you know, we're not laughing at you when you tell us what's going on. We're laughing with you from identification. And because it's a relief to know that I'm not the only one that does this. I'm not the only one that fantasized over macaroni and cheese and, you know, lusted after other women's, other people's plates of food and done, you know, just sick things with food. But, you know, the joy about it is that I identify with them. And I can laugh at myself, and laughter is a very joyous emotion. And in the rooms of the 12 step, you know, we laugh, and that is a wonderful thing. It's also, you know, what I see in this paragraph is that it's facing the truth. I had to face a lot of truths, and I still today have to face truths about myself. I had to face the truth that yes, I am a compulsive overeater. And no, I'm powerless. No, I have no power over it. I need more than a human power to relieve me of the compulsion to eat. You know, I'm powerless over my emotions, and they ran my life. And today I want to run my life based on the statutes of the Big Book and the scripture. Right now and presently in my life, I have forgotten to turn off my stove about 4 times in the past few weeks. And, you know, 2 of my adult children live with me, and they're concerned about me. And so I admit that I'm powerless over forgetting or remembering to turn off the stove. And so this weekend I'm going to look into getting reminders about turning off the stove or a new stove that will turn itself off. Because of the training that I've had in this program, I can make an amends by taking an action to do something different, because I cannot rely on my memory to turn off the stove. And if I hear somebody else say that, I might laugh and say, yeah, guess what? I almost put my family to death too, you know, and that's not funny, but I mean, at least I can make a joke and say, okay, this is serious, Roz. You need to do something about it. The 12 steps has taught me to face the truth and to do something about it. I am nothing. I am just another bozo on the bus. Principles above personalities. That's the way to live. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Roz G. Thanks for sharing. Up next is Lorna L., followed by Stephanie L. Lorna? Lorna, please press *1 to unmute your phone.
I'm Lorna from Toronto, Canada. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm newly back in the program. I've been in recovery for 25 years, but I have lapsed and gained 100 pounds and didn't think I had another recovery in me. But I'm finding that I do. I'm 82 years old, and I still have another recovery in me. I've started back on the program, and I had forgotten how much better I feel mentally and physically when I'm eating properly and I'm doing the steps and I'm walking the walk. And I just want to pass that on to anybody who might be discouraged. Pass.
Thanks, Lorna L. And where are you calling from, Lorna?
Toronto, Ontario.
Toronto. Welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lorna. Up next is Stephanie L. and Robin P. will be following her. But before Stephanie goes, I just want to remind everyone, if you came on the line late, we are on page 157, the 6th paragraph that says, yes, that's me, said the sick man, reading that one paragraph only. So up next, Stephanie, please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And while I was... that man. I was that sick man. And the way this message came to me. I was in a 2-year relapse, and I logged on to the OA birthday party almost 3 years ago, 110 pounds heavier, wanting to die, feeling hopeless. I don't even know why I logged on, because I ate through every speaker that I heard. But here was the thing. I said to myself, yep, that story sounds like me. Yep, that's me. But, you know, I don't know. I don't see what good it'll do, because that is what I told myself. Well, this program, I've exhausted all my recoveries. This program doesn't work for me anymore. But yet I showed up, which was kind of funny. But my point is, in that hopeless state, the message was brought to me by a woman with lipstick on, eyes glowing, laughing as she told her story. Maybe not laughing at me, but laughing. There was a lightness about her and a freedom about her. And even though, you know, I said to myself, yeah, I see that it's working for you, but I don't know if this will do any good for me, I still called that woman. And she became my sponsor. And, you know, through working the steps and connecting with a God of my understanding, I get to be that person who brings the message to other people. And I just really related with that when I read it, because I'll tell you what, being in that place of, you know, I'm a nobody now, nothing works for me, I'm hopeless, I'm just going to die in this disease, as painful and dark and dreary as that place was, what a great place for me to be able to say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, I'll do anything to not be where I am today. In that pain, you know, that pain drove me to a place of surrender and willingness that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't experienced that. And yeah, it's a lot of fun to laugh about, you know, to be on the other side of it. It's easy to laugh about, I can't believe I did that, and yep, I did that, and ha, ha, ha. Right? Because there is a levity in sharing our shared experience with each other. And I'm just so grateful for this program, grateful for all the shares so far, and grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Stephanie L. from California. Up next is Robin P., and after Robin, we are going to open it up for some more shares.
Hi, Robin P. Thanks so much for your service, Laura, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P., and I'm really grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and we are currently in Pennsylvania, in Mars, Pennsylvania. I thought I was that one person. I was going to do this, and it wasn't going to work for me. I remember thinking, oh, what if I'm the one person in the world, like the self-centered fear in the center of the universe, what if I'm the one person in the program who does all this work and it doesn't work? And I, you know, and it turned out that wasn't true. That was just another lie from the disease, you know. And I also do think that there's joy at the other side. You know, we're not a glum lot. And so I'm supposed to be happy, joyous, and free. And, you know, if somebody said to me, I know I'm the one person this isn't going to work for, I was, you know, I of course, you know, it's going to work for you. That's just a disease telling you that, you know. And and I just always remember before I came into the program, it came to me to eat. I didn't have a no. I didn't have any. It was like taking to your leader. It was really scary looking back. I didn't have a okay. And now it's completely different, thank you, God, because of the program and the steps and my God squad getting me through some really challenging things lately with family. That it just was, wow, unreal. It's just like bizarre. And God just kept carrying me through and the program. And it just works no matter what. As long as I show up and participate in my own recovery, it will always work for anyone. And, you know, I'm so grateful that Bill and Bob were willing to just carry the message no matter what. And it worked, you know. And thank God, look at all the millions of people who were affected because they were willing to carry the message. So God bless everybody with a very blessed, abstinent day and weekend, and thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Robin. Robin P., currently in Pennsylvania. So before I open it up again for more shares, just a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. We are sharing on page 157, the sixth paragraph, starting with, "Yes, that's me," said the sick man, through that end of the paragraph, ending with, "Damn little to laugh about that I can see." So if you haven't shared on any vision meeting on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, I would love to hear you. Please give me your first name and the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Melanie T. from Oregon.
Ooh, I didn't get anybody. Sorry.
Melanie T. from Oregon.
Let's try again.
Lauren B.
Melanie C. from Oregon.
Melanie C. from Oregon.
Janet D.
Missed those. Sorry. Try again.
Janet G.
Janet G. Gotcha.
From Nevada.
Nevada.
Kathleen O.
Two people came in, sorry.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Where are you calling from?
Minnesota.
Thanks, Wendy.
Sure.
And Kathleen O. California.
Kathleen O. California. So far I've got Lauren B. You can let us know where you're calling from. Melanie C. from Oregon, Janet G. from Nevada, Wendy M. from Minnesota, and Kathleen O. from California. Anybody else want to get in there?
Cindy H. from Michigan.
Cindy, was it Cindy H.?
Yes.
From Michigan?
Michigan. Mm-hmm.
And was there somebody else trying to get in?
Yeah, Rita Q.
Lisa?
No, Rita, R-I-T-A, Rita.
Rita K?
Q for Queen.
Q, I'm sorry, Q?
Yeah.
Okay, and where are you calling from, Rita?
The UK, Manchester.
UK. Great. Okay, we're going to stop there. We're going to start with Lauren B, followed by Melanie C. And Lauren, please let us know where you're calling from when you come on in.
Hi, good morning. This is actually Lauren A. from Minnesota. Thank you for hearing
me. Thanks, Lauren.
It was a struggle. I'm glad that everybody brought up the part about laughing. Through the years in OA and another 12-step group, I've always thought, if you hear me laugh, it's because I can totally relate to what you're saying. So it might be about the food or other substance, or it might be about crazy emotional things that we come up with, like fear of nothing or resentful of everything or whatever it might be. And that's what I can relate to. But I'm hoping that I can also relate to the recovery part of it. And I'm back again. I've been in and out for years. You know, when I first started in OA, I had been in AA, and I didn't get discouraged. I really wasn't getting recovery, but I knew the 12 steps worked. I knew that OA program wasn't the problem. I knew it was me and that I had to just keep coming back. So I'm glad I never completely gave up, and that I'm still welcome here, and that I have all you people to laugh with. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lauren E. from Minnesota. Up next is Melanie C., followed by Janet G. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, Laura. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. This is my go-to sentence for being able to clearly remember the path of how it is that I am here today and what people have done to contribute my life. I was introduced to Overeaters Anonymous in 1989 by my mother, and I was in for about a year and a half and did whatever I possibly could, and all that time was reinforcing in my stinking thinking that this apparently wasn't going to be for me. I was going to be one of those. I looked at very clearly, you know, and can I be honest, and all those things that we talk about in here to try to identify out. Listening to all the shares today clearly shares that many of us were at this place, same kind of thinking when we came in here. And in that way of moving around, and in the way that Julie E.B. was describing how to identify in, this seems like it's a wonderful starting place. In 1989, in these rooms, it was not for another 17 years in the disease, knowing full well that there was an answer out there for me, that I stumbled back into these rooms absolutely defeated and depleted. And I made this phone call to somebody, and they outlined the program for me very, very specifically, kind, wonderful, rich voice of this person that had been recovered for some time. And I left that phone call bawling because I was not, after all that I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do what she did. I knew what was in me, where I was at. And I was crying absolutely next to my bed in my bedroom, sobbing, those shoulders heaving, tears running down my face, snot running down my face, telling myself, reinforcing to myself, you're not even going to be able to be a part of this group, this organization, this club. You can't even make it here. That's what I was reinforcing. That was the theme for all of my life up to that point. And I was almost 50 at that particular day when I was doing that. And I found somehow, some way, I was punching the keypad again for another phone call. I don't know how that was. That's when things were kind of transferring to the phone in 2005. And that's where I was in a teeny tiny harbor town and there weren't any meetings. And so that's what I had to go on. And with other phone call, well, so I can tell you that there was a power and a source out there guiding my behind to blindly continue to search. It seems to me that this is the language of many of us when we come in here, and it is the beginning. It is a beginning. If I can disregard the stinking thinking, I can have this. And that was a changing day for me. I'm recovered 18 years. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie. Thanks for your share. Up next is Janet G. from Nevada, followed by Wendy M. Janet, please share with us.
Good morning. This is Janet G. from Nevada. When I heard him say, I used to be somebody, but I'm a nobody now, I can relate. When I was 5 years old, I was illegitimate. My mother and took me and we moved from my grandpa's farm to California. And then she left me there with relatives. And she took off for 2 years because of a man. But I still saw her on weekends. And that pain that's when I turned to food. I remember the day because I lied about it, saying I was hungry when I wasn't. And my aunt told me to drink a glass of milk. And I thought to myself, I don't want milk. I want food. And it has taken me so long to realize, to come face to face with that hurt of abandonment and rejection. And then to accept it as part of my life. And now I'm realizing it when I hear things, that thought goes through me. And that feeling goes through me again. And I am beginning to realize I have a higher power that loves me and will not abandon me or reject me, and that I don't need the food. It doesn't solve that emptiness that I'm looking for. Only he can, and he heals me thought by thought. As long as I'm honest and can realize that thought is there, and that's my disease. It's not what happens to you as a child or a person. It's how you react. And I truly believe I was born an alcoholic, and I have always reacted addictively and alcoholically to all my problems. But now I don't have to, because I have somebody that will help me and will help me with my thinking and decisions and my day-to-day life and to do what's best for me. And for that, I am very grateful today.
Gentle reminder.
Okay. Love you all. So glad you're here. Keep trudging this path. It's the only path I want to be on. And keep me from straying. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Thanks, Janet G. from Nevada. Up next is Wendy M., followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Wendy. Please share with us.
Yeah, good morning. Wendy M., 2 month abstinence. Thank you, God. Thank you all on the line for your service. In Minnesota, visiting my son, and there was a lot of laughter in that visit. So I just want to first say that when I see laughter, I think of God. God is talking. God is in the house. When we burst, I love the word burst, too. You know, it's just like, it's spontaneous, you know. It just comes. It just comes from within. It comes from our spirit, and our spirit laughs, and God laughs with us, you know. And what a relief when we laugh, because it's acceptance, it's acknowledgement, it's saying, yes, I do that, and it's usually something I don't want you to know. And then I laugh because I'm telling you anyways, you know, I'm telling you that I'm driving 60 miles an hour and there's a piece of apple on the floor and I have to get it because I weighed and measure it, and it would be wrong if I didn't eat all of the food I weighed and measured. And that's insane. That's why it's funny, because I'm insane. We are insane. And that deep acceptance when we laugh, you know, of saying, oh my God, I totally do this. And there's such a relief when we laugh. But the deep part is the acceptance, you know. And then this guy is saying, you know, I'm basically a nobody, you know. And when I did that, I was trying to tell you guys to convince me that I'm wrong. And secretly, at least for me, when I'm saying things like, I'm a loser, I can't get this, you can, I actually secretly know that I can do it. There's something deep down inside of me that says, I can do this. And I'm really asking you, with all of this sort of pathetic language, is please convince me that I'm wrong, because I secretly know that I'm wrong. I secretly know, or else I wouldn't be here, you know, in this situation. The other thing somebody mentioned the other day is I counted 6 I's. In this paragraph. And, you know, that's my disease right there. I'm an I, there is no God. There's no God. And there's no laughter. When I'm an I, it's like I'm stuck and I can't laugh and I can't release and get relief from this disease, because that's what the laughter does. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks, Wendy M. Thanks so much for your share. If you're just joining us, we're on page 157, the 6th paragraph, starting with, yes, that's me, ending with, damn little to laugh about that I can see. And up next is Kathleen O. from California, followed by Cindy H. Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O., compulsive overeater in Northern California. And I haven't shared in a long time because I have to take this chemo drug that makes my voice very hoarse. So I'm going to see if I can at least get through this, because I want you all to know I love hearing your voices every day. And, you know, this paragraph, Bill Dodson clearly is full of self-pity. And I know I can relate to that around food and around life sometimes. And thankfully, though, you know, I have a relationship with a higher power that gets me through everything. And when they laughed, I can relate to that too, because, you know, I've had people in program, they'll say, oh, you know, it's so together. It's like, and I'll laugh and I'll say, trust me, I don't. And I think that's why Bill and Bob laughed, because they knew they were just two drunks, you know, helping another drunk get sober. And anyway, I feel so grateful to be in this program. And Saturday, I'm supposed to be in an MRI for 2 hours. And it's filling me with great anxiety. I'm claustrophobic, and to not be able to move is making me nuts. And I can't take anything for it because everything I ever try to take causes nausea. So the good news is I have this program. I have a higher power. I'll just do a lot of meditation and be in connection with my higher power through this and hope for the best. And thank you. I just love all your shares. Love hearing you all. And I pass.
Thanks, Kathleen. Thanks so much for sharing. My prayers are with you. Up next is Cindy H. Cindy, press star one.
Hi, this is Cindy H. From Michigan. Glad to be recovered, but not cured of this compulsive eating disease. You know, for many years, before I studied the whole first 164 pages of the big book and took the actions, I was in this despair too over the way I couldn't stop eating. But we used to always read pages 58 through 60 in the beginning of the meeting, and the things I could remember the most are the, remember we deal with food, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. And page 60, what an order, I can't go through with it. I knew about the allergy, and I knew about the mental twist. But I just couldn't stop overeating. And I had that negative thinking, too, of that, oh, this is too hard. You know, you guys can do it, but I can't do it. And no matter what I do, it isn't enough. You know, I have all the excuses, and I was full of self-pity, too. I'm so grateful to be recovered today, and I'm so grateful to be helping others recover. And I know that when they are in despair, that's when they know they're powerless. So that's really like step zero, that they're ready to start taking the actions. And I had to identify in with the big book with Bill's story and learn to use these steps and to follow the directions. And I just want to give hope to the newcomers and the people like me that were in the program for many years and didn't get it, to keep on taking 12-step actions and keep going. The miracle can happen for you too. And God bless you all. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Cindy H. from Michigan. Thanks for your share. Up next is Rita Q. And after that, we will take a couple more names, I think. Rita, please press star one.
Thanks so much. My name is Rita Q, recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. Thank you to Team Friday as well. I love this. I love this paragraph because, you know, I love to laugh. I'm definitely part of the we are not a glum lot. But when I first came in 2003 as a morbidly obese woman, the meeting was extremely small and there was only four people. They were all very slim. And I remember thinking they were talking, and I was thinking, they don't understand me, they don't get it. You know, I was in that bit of morass of self-pity. I thought, they don't know what it's like to be nearly 400 pounds, this is blah, blah, blah. But then as I heard, the more I came back, I kept coming back. And I remember in my awful angst, calling somebody from that meeting. I took everybody's number down. I remember ringing her going, because I didn't understand what it was. I genuinely didn't, because it was all I knew. You know, I couldn't differentiate the truth from the false. And I remember holding on to the kitchen door and phoning somebody and saying, I need to eat because I'm feeling odd. I need to eat. And they were like, you can get through this. What are you going to have for your dinner? And then it began to dawn on me. And then by the time I started going to more and more meetings, I ended up with whiplash because that was me. I drank like that. I ate like that. You know, my head was just nodding. And I think in the first meeting, people were talking about eating out of bins, you know, like trash cans, and I was thinking, oh, I'd never do that. What are they on about? And then it suddenly dawned on me, I was the trash can because I never let it get there. I was the one that was eating everything. I hoovered up everything. So it was because I ate like Bill drank, you know, and I am a gutter drunk when it comes to food. So it was really, it's really, really good. And I love this because I always think this is such a hopeless paragraph. You have to be hopeless to find hope again. And as somebody else previously shared, I love sponsees when they're like this, because that's when you know there's just nothing left. There is nowhere else to go. You know, the countless vain attempts are gone. They were gone for me when I came into OA. I knew I'd arrived and I knew I was home, and we are definitely not a glum lot. My God, do I love to laugh. It's the best medicine that I could ever have. But, you know, I'm just so glad. And I think this extreme example and that image of them sat in the bed has become quite famous now. I just think it's beautiful. I think, look at what you can achieve, where you can go from and what you can achieve if you just take a few simple steps. And it's simple but not easy, and I love it. And I'm so grateful for OA because I'd be dead now. I would be dead, especially after my relapse when I got up to an even heavier weight. You know, I was hopeless beyond, I thought I was beyond human aid. And it turns out I wasn't, because when I worked the steps, you know, I'm recovered for today, just for today. And I'm really grateful. So thanks for everybody being on the line. I love you all, and I'll leave it there. Pass.
Thanks, Rita Q from the UK. We have time for one more 3-minute share. Who would like to take that?
Alex K.
Alex K, go ahead. It's all yours. I'm sorry, we got Alex K.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Alex K in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. I was thinking maybe Bob and Bill are laughing because he reminds them of themselves. He identifies with their stories by saying, yes, that's me, and they identify with his hopelessness because they'd been there. They were, and yet they were no longer in that place, and they know there's hope, and they're eager to share it with him. I think that's the unique beauty of this program. We all share the struggle of compulsive eating. We know what it's like to have this disease, and we understand each other when we share. When I first came and I was so hopeless and miserable, thinking I'd never get better, that nothing could help me, there were people here to listen and nod their heads and share their experience, strength and hope, and support me and show me the solution. And now I can pass it on. When someone's struggling and suffering in this disease, I can say, I know how that is. I've been there, but I'm in a better place today. Here's what I did. Here's what helped me. And I think if it works for me, it can work for anyone. We're not alone. I can say to the person, I'm here to encourage and support you in any way I can. It's such a special thing we have here, and I'm very grateful to be part of it. Together we get better. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Alex K. from California. We have time for a 1 minute. Anybody wants to take it? Was there a Barbara that had jumped in earlier? If you want a 1 minute share, please press star one.
This is Barbara A., California.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Just grabbing that last minute. Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. I have been through this book now, and I have learned how seriously I took myself. Today, I don't do that. I am not the all-knowing be-all. I'm not the smartest person in the room. I'm learning every day through sponsees, through my sponsor, through just interacting with the world with this new design of living. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you for your sharing. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks, Barbara A. Thanks so much. Great meeting, everyone. It is now time to close the meeting. We are now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Betsy H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.